Good evening.
You're the first to arrive.
Oh, okay.
Does happen.
I don't know.
Has joined.
Good evening.
Good evening. Shalom. How you doing, Hannah?
What's that? I'm well.
Baruch Hashem. Excellent. Is this you and I right now?
Say again? Oh, no, there's...
Is it just...
Randy's on as well. So we're
oh, okay.
About to start.
Hi, Brandy.
Hey, hi.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Brandy,
excellent. Thank you.
That's Lizette.
Oh, okay.
Hi, Brandy.
You,
hi. I'm well.
Good.
You both
good.
Live in the state of Texas.
Oh, really? From Texas? You as well? Where from?
Where from? I'm in Port Arthur.
Port Arthur?
Close. It's an hour from Lake Charles where the storm hit.
Are you okay? And your family okay? You guys
okay?
Good. Praise Allah.
Everything.
Yeah.
Everything. Baruch Hashem.
Baruch Hashem. Absolutely. I love it.
And Lizette lives... In near San Antonio, where Hannah
oh,
is.
Yes. Yes.
Oh,
I
wow.
live north. I live north of San Antonio, south of Austin, in a town called Canyon Lake, in front of a lake or close to a lake.
Oh wow!
Yeah.
I bet that's pretty.
It's pretty, yeah. I think Texas is pretty. It's got a lot of pretty things. A little dry, but it's pretty. Is it dry? Well, not now for you. It hasn't been. It's been very dry here. And a lot of 100-degree weather is in this month of August. It's been really interesting. Very warm. Very interesting.
And the most famous city in Texas that no one has ever heard of is True Love, Texas, population 9.
9? Wow. True Love.
And I know one of the one person who was born in True Love. And he
really?
Made the population at 9. He was good. They had to change the name.
Wow. True Love. What's the name of it again?
The city?
Yeah.
True Love, Texas.
True Love, Texas. Is that, oh, wow, interesting. Didn't know.
It's in eastern Texas.
Mm.
But nobody's ever heard of it because it's obviously such a large place.
Right, right. Yeah, Texas is such a large place. You can drive Texas all day and not get out of the state.
That's true of my mind also.
Yeah. Oh. The Ilu meditation for today was really interesting, I have to say. I read it earlier, and that was really interesting.
I didn't hear what you said at the beginning. Like you were reading the Zohar today?
I was reading the Ilu day for
oh.
today, the 18th day. Ilu, what is it today?
It's the 11th, I believe, of Elul.
Okay, and I was reading that part that we were reading the meditations this weekend.
Okay.
And so I read that today, and it reminded me of how to do my day. It was a good day.
It is.
I could think about. Yeah.
Yeah, those meditations are really powerful. Yeah. So let us begin our deep Zohar study. We're in Parashah Vayera. We're in section 20 of Parashah Vayera from the Sulam commentary on the Zohar. And we're starting with Pasuk 251. And we'll start with the L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud Kutshabri Kurich Kinte Bid Hilur Himud Hilurut Hilur Himud. Le'akda l'shem yudhei b'vavhei, le'yichuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael, limud Torah mitzvah, la'asok Torah mitzvah, v'yihino amadunai Eloheinu aleinu ma'asei yadena p'nanei aleinu ma'asei yadena p'naneihu. Devar achayr hinei yom Hashem, v'dahu b'cha b'la, Vatata kadatil nishmata beginei kah. Akhzari vievra lashom haaretz lishama. Dasadom viamora vichyata aeha. Yashmid mimena ilain yat veyara. The translation. Another explanation of behold, the day of Hashem comes, is that it is referring to the saboteur of below, namely the angel of death, when he takes the soul away. And this is why the verse calls him cruel, both with wrath to lay the land desolate, alluding to Sodom and Amorah, which were thrown over and deserted. The phrase, and he shall destroy the sinners thereof out of it, refers to those who inhabited that land. My commentary. With Rabbi Ashlag's comments, the verse is clear as written. And these are code phrases that continue to be brought into our attention. Questions, comments, thoughts.
Okay, why do they say that the saboteur, the angel of death, the verse calls him both cruel and with wrath? Why is he considered cruel?
He is cruel because he tests you.
Okay.
Is cruel because death is the most negative thing in the world. Death takes the soul. It separates two friends. The body and the soul are friends. Death entices the soul to leave the body. It's cruel because it's always testing, and then it's immediately accusing.
Well,
it has two tasks that it is to do. One is to test each human, and the other is if it causes you to follow it, then it accuses you in front of Hashem, indicating that you've left Hashem.
Well, then it must have something in it to entice you away on the same level as the Shekinah.
That's correct. Why does it entice you away? Remember, inside of you, after Adam and Eve ate from the tree of knowledge, good and evil, inside of you are two entities. And there's a third entity, which is you. But the two entities is your Yetzer Hara, your evil inclination, and your Yetzer HaTov, your good inclination. And they're both speaking into your head. And the Yetzer Hara is the angel of death. Are they two different entities? There's an angel of death, and there's the Yetzer Hara. They're both working for Satan. And what does the Yetzer Hara tell you? Go after what you want. Desire motivates you. If you have a desire, follow it. Don't limit it. Don't delay it, its fulfillment until the coming of Mashiach, when you will get so much more than the pleasure you get from following the Yetzer Hara down. But that's what is the purpose of delaying the fulfillment? And why in this generation do we delay to fulfillment? Everything is now. I want it immediately. I have no patience to wait. I'm speaking about me personally, but I'm also speaking about the generation.
Yeah, I call this generation the microwave generation.
Yes, it's a good nap.
They want everything instantly.
And always remember, the microwave is burning you from the inside out.
So may I ask, are the two inclinations also considered to be the desire to receive the self alone and the desire to give or for others?
The Yetzer HaTov, the good inclination, is the desire to receive in order to share.
Yeah.
There's a big difference between the word give and the word share. You give something with an agenda, with a reason that you want something in return. When you share, it's not altruistic, because it's a desire to receive. But it's the goal or the motivation is to give pleasure back to Hashem for all the pleasure he gives you.
Mm-hmm.
It creates a circuit of energy, that terminology in Kabbalah, the desire to receive in order to share. It creates this circuit of energy because Hashem provides. Hashem shares without an agenda. He shares. He created you. He shares with you. He provides everything in your life.
Yeah, it's interesting.
You can't. There's nothing you can give him. He has no need.
Right.
But when you appreciate what you receive, you're giving him pleasure. There's a Yiddish word, a Jewish word called nachat. Nachat is the pleasure a grandparent receives from observing the grandbaby who's just laughing, playing and laughing. Just pure joy. What the grandparent perceives at that moment is called nachat. It's a circuit of energy. The grandparent shared, created the child who created the grandchild. And the grandchild, just by existing, is sharing back with the grandparent. That's the circuit of energy that completes everything.
That's beautiful.
It is beautiful. And if you've ever experienced that feeling, it's absolutely amazing.
I haven't. That sounds lovely. And, it really does.
But it's not easy to achieve. you got to go through 40, 50 years, 60 years of this life. And you have to learn how to be happy in times of stress. You have to learn how to. And when you do, when you have that feeling, it's just absolutely amazing, because that is the creation of serenity in one way or another. Because the circuit of energy where Hashem shares with us and we share back the pleasure of receiving from Hashem. And that's the idea of receiving in order to share. It's a very deep concept.
Yeah, it's very deep.
When you see a toddler throwing a tantrum in the middle of the aisle in the market or the Walmart or wherever you're shopping, and you see the toddler throwing the tantrum, and we all have seen it, we all have experienced it, we understand what's going on with the toddler. It wants what it wants, and it wants it now.
Mm-hmm.
But the parent, what does the parent do? Typically, it gives a little patch on the tushy to stop this.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not hitting to hurt, and everybody knows it's not childish. Mm-hmm. So what is the person thinking about? Some parents are thinking, they think that I'm a horrible parent. All these people are staring at us, and they think I'm a horrible parent. I've got to stop this child from doing that. And that's a desire to receive for oneself alone. Or it can be, I've got to stop this child because this child needs to grow up and learn how to live with other people. And it needs to understand that it cannot have everything it wants at that moment. Sometimes it has to wait. Sometimes it may never happen. But that consciousness, when the parent is hitting the child, that consciousness is essentially thinking about the child. It's not thinking about the parent. So it's a desire to receive. It receives energy in order to share with the child its wisdom, that it has to grow up in a world where it cannot have everything. Because that's how you remove bread of shame. Now, even if the parent doesn't know anything about Kabbalah, doesn't know anything about bread of shame, it's still acting out on what that soul knows. Because the soul mm-hmm. knows it's about bread of shame. But a child who never gets that pachka in the tushy never learns to stop demanding and wanting it now, that child cannot function in a society because its selfishness overwhelms the soul, the body's selfishness.
Yeah, that's
so Brandy, that is the idea that that it has this duality, that the angel of death is both cruel because it's taking the soul, and wrath because it's accusing. In front of Hashem, it's accusing the soul of leaving Hashem. And that, how much more horrible could that be? That's the reason these words are used.
I have a short story.
Go ahead.
One day, my niece is grown now, but when she was younger, she wanted to go to the department store with me. And I said, yes, that would be fine, but, you know, there's rules and regulations. You have to stay close to me and either hold my hand or, you know, be within sight, you know, all the time. So that was agreed on. So we went to the department store, And I'm not exactly whether it was an item she wanted or whether she didn't want to go back, it was time to leave and she didn't want to go back, but she fell out on the floor in the middle of the department store having this tantrum fit, okay? So I just kind of looked at her and I calmly said, well, this isn't going to work. And I said, we need to go and I'm leaving. And I just stepped over and started walking to the door. Now, I walked really slow and I kept my eye on her. And eventually she got up, dusted herself off and came. And that was that. She was over with that. Whatever it was, she was over it. So... that was my little example of trying to tell her that that was not an appropriate action, that there was no need for that. So, but that was my experience with small children throwing tantrums in the middle of the department store.
We've all had similar experiences in one way or another. Sometimes the toddler is 40 years old.
Right. I've seen that too.
We all have. What's interesting in the
I think
verse,
I've done that. Toddler 40 years old, yeah.
We understand it. We've all done it. We've all seen it. We've all done it. This is life. This is the experiences. The question is, how do you grow from that? And that's really why Kabbalah is being taught in this generation, because you need that understanding that comes through Kabbalah in order to control your emotions. Because our patterns of behavior in a materialistic society is I want it now, and I'm not going to wait. And that's exactly what Hashem wanted to create. When you study the four phases, and you understand that the fourth phase, which is Malchut, is this demand to have everything. When you truly begin to understand that, It all makes sense of why this generation is the way it is. But what I was about to say, if you look at the end of the verse where it says, to lay the land desolate, polluted, and he's saying, hinting to Sodom and Gomorrah. And Rabbi Ashlag in the large print says, which were thrown over and deserted, which is two things. Thrown over is one thing. You have an earthquake, you have a tornado, you have a hurricane, and so buildings get destroyed. That's throwing over. But then it's deserted. In the case of Sodom and Gomorrah, people left. They didn't go back. And with all due respect for Lake Charles and the surrounding areas and the people who have experienced all these hurricanes and tornadoes and floods, what does this country do? Not just this country, but other places in the world. You have these natural disasters. So it's thrown over. But people are not deserting. People are rebuilding. But where do they rebuild? They rebuild in exactly the same place where the storm is going to hit again. It's just a matter of time before there's another hurricane going through Lake Charles. There's only one country in the world that does it differently. And they only did it differently once, to my knowledge. But the country is Denmark, which is the land is below sea level. So every storm is going to flood the land. And they had a huge storm come into Denmark in the early 50s. And they didn't just rebuild, they redesigned it and built it so that no matter how large the storm, perhaps until recently because the storms are getting larger, but they designed it in a way that the floods will drain. They essentially cemented in this whole city so that the waters are sent back into the sea and the people can rebuild and live there without having to desert it. But what happened with the hurricane in Lake Charles? You were ordered to move. You were ordered to desert the city. And you have. And now you can't come back until the power is restored, till the water is working again. But the question is, why would you go back? You should go back if it's redesigned. But that's not what the laws say to do. They just say rebuild. And as long as you rebuild, it's going to happen again. And this is the tantrum where the child never learns. And understand that's only my opinion. I'm not criticizing because it happens everywhere.
You know, and I think in that same situation, I think if people have something to go back to that isn't utterly destroyed, that there gets a point in a time in your life when you're older where you just don't have the, I don't know what it is, energy or motivation.
Call it energy. It's strength. You're tired. You don't want to do it again. You don't want to rebuild. So you move on. And in this generation, your children move to different cities. They got different jobs away from you. And so, you know, you'll go live with them. Not necessarily with them, but, you know. But everybody is on a different level. Everybody has a different connection to the space, to the land that they're living on.
That's right. That's it.
That was good. Very good. Deep.
We're out of time. But I do need to say one thing again. I've stressed it. I'm not criticizing people who go back, and I'm not criticizing the people who leave. It's all part of the process of living.
And
natural disasters happen, but they don't have to, because natural disasters are caused by human activity.
Right.
That's what Kabbalah has been teaching for 5,000 years.
Right.
And a lot of people don't want to accept that responsibility, that they create the natural disasters, because they don't see the physical cause and effect. They don't see how their actions create the effect. But that's what Kabbalah teaches you, is how to perceive the cause by looking at the effect and evaluating what caused this hurricane. Why are these hurricanes only coming into the Gulf Coast and into Florida and so forth?
Right.
But there's in every area there is some form of natural disaster. But the cause of that natural disaster is always the human activity in that area.
Yeah, cause and effect is something else, isn't it?
Yes. I'll give you a perfect example because I know Brandy knows Bernice.
God bless Bernice.
Yes, amen. But she fell the other day.
Oh, Lord.
She was right after she did sleepover. She fell. But she didn't fall. What happened is her leg broke.
Oh, no.
And that's what the medical community is finally realizing, that these older women are not falling. Their legs are breaking or their hip is breaking, and that's why they fall.
Well, you know, when I evacuated to Hope, Arkansas, I was trying to be too much and open a door for someone, and I was walking with a little cane because my legs have kind of been bothering me lately, and I fell. But you know what? I fell on the cane, and the cane told me the other day it hurt worse than my hip did.
Brandy, you don't know. This was before I was studying Kabbalah, but it was something I was brought into from my previous lifetime. When my toddlers, my daughters, would fall and they'd start to cry, I would redirect their attention by saying, "What did you do to the floor? You have to apologize to the floor." It totally changes their attention, and they stop crying because they're not hurt. It's just that desire to receive for oneself alone that is the essence of a child.
Well, I think the cane has a bigger knot on it than my hip does, so I guess it's okay. It never turned blue.
Well, at least it gave you the support to go down slowly.
It sure did.
I'm sorry you fell, and I'm glad it wasn't a break. That's what's the important thing.
Well, all of that is really great, but must have been something worse down the road that was going to happen, and this was a minor thing, so I'm thanking God.
Baruch Hashem. You all have a beautiful evening, and our class today, our late class will be based on the Ari tonight. So,
9 o'clock Central or 7 o'clock? 7 o'clock East. What's the difference?
7 Western and 9 Central.
Thank you. Yes.
Thank you.
Shalom Gadol.
Shalom.
Shalom.